Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Aaron Boone's older brother has found himself on our side of the business after a very successful career. Listen, his family, I was just going through this, and we'll get into this, but Brett Boone has... For about a year now, has put together the Boone Podcast, and his guest this week is finally his brother, manager of the New York Yankees. A really interesting chat about growing up, being at the ballpark, and a little look inside his managerial career with the Yankees.
That's a tough get. That's a tough get for him.
Yeah, it took him a year. You believe it took him a year to get his own brother on the podcast, Brett? Why did it take so long? It's Sweeney and Ed here in New York. How you doing?
Morning, guys. And listen. Sweet. Anybody just can't come on the Boone podcast. You gotta prove worthy. Aaron, he kept bugging me. Finally, I let him come on.
he was a fun guest, and like it's funny because you guys talked to me about this that you know you guys have obviously talked baseball your whole lives, but it was never in this format in this setting before.
No, it was different because you know as everybody knows before Aaron. Came to the Yankees, it was with ESPN. But I've never done an interview. Aaron's never interviewed me. And going to this podcast, I had never interviewed him. Of course, we've done a lot of interviews together and, you know, dual. But, it was really interesting, the back and forth. But I think it came out pretty good. You get to hear some things behind the scenes. And it was more, on the podcast, I like to just do a lot of, you know, with the guys that come on, not that buttoned up interview, but more we're on the golf course and we're just talking like we'd talk or in a clubhouse. So, you know, it was kind of cool. Mom always, she likes the family ones. I did dad a few weeks back and that came out pretty good. But you're always getting, you know, you're always listening to the reviews from your buddies and from your family. But so far, so good. I'm having fun with it.
Now, why is Brett? Why is he so different than you, personality-wise? Can you pinpoint that?
No, you know, we talked. I was talking to Sweeney yesterday, and what I tell him, he's kind of like my father. They're very similar. Their mannerisms. I started off the interview, and when Aaron started speaking, I could see my dad 20, 25 years ago. It was the same guy. It's just when I go over to dad's house now for dinner, I see my grandpa, who I was really close with. And it's amazing. It's just kind of the three of them from a look standpoint, from a personality. My dad and Aaron are just very similar. I'm more along the lines of my grandfather and my younger brother. We have a little bit of a different personality, but we both, you know, we love the game. We're pretty like-minded when it comes to baseball, and we differ a little bit on a couple strategies, but for the most part, we get along pretty good.
Gotcha. That's pretty good.
And it's funny, too, looking at your guys as players. You know, you're often obviously compared to each other and your family and things like that. But just watching from afar, it always felt like you were the one who was hard-nosed and quick-temper. But as we watch Aaron's managerial career, you know, you kind of see, you know, his hair trigger there. I think you've even referred to him as the nice Boone. You know, this is the opposite personalities, but it tends, like, what we think isn't necessarily exactly how you guys see each other.
Well, I never was tempered. I'm just kind of the more. Aaron's a guy that he is a nice Boone. If you're going to break us both down, he's the nicer Boone. But I don't know. I just have the ability to read that room pretty good, you know? It's like when you're in seventh grade and you know how far you can push your teacher before you're in trouble. I get to that line. I know how to back off. Sometimes Aaron goes over that line. You see him getting thrown out of games all the time, right?
Yeah. So what was your reaction? How quickly did you give him some grief after the Savages and the Box ran?
I thought that was a perfect storm. You know, I called him. I said, that's marketing 101 right there. First, you get caught on a hot mic. You drop the Savages in the Box. You're protecting your players. And it goes viral. Therefore, you've got every player on your team going, way to go, Skipper. You've got opposing players that don't even know Aaron Boone at all going, wow, look at the way that Skipper was taking care of his players. So you got that respect. And all of a sudden, you go from half of people in Yankee land can't stand you for some reason. Now they all love you because of what you're doing. I thought it was and you didn't do any of it. That was the beauty of it. It was a hot mic. So I thought it was a perfect moment, almost like a Hollywood scripted moment that you didn't script.
Yeah. He played it pretty well. No question. Brett, I remember you. I think the last time I talked to you was actually in spring training with the Mets, which was like 2006. And you were there for a couple of weeks, I remember. And then you retired at that time. But I remember you best and talking with you at that time with the Atlanta Braves in 99. When you were a pain in the neck to the Mets, as a matter of fact. And that was a heck of a year. That was a great, you know, playoff series. And you guys eventually went to the World Series and went to the World Series against the Yankees. You had a great postseason that year. I think you hit almost 400 that year. Did you not?
I think I did. I had a really good World Series.
Yeah.
I think I had one series in the postseason where I struggled, and the other
Mets. Yeah, you struggled against the Mets a little bit. Yeah,
I struggled against the Mets, and I had a big World Series. But that was it. You know, I was in Atlanta 1 year. I got to go to a World Series. We got whooped by the Yankees that year. But I enjoyed my time. I enjoyed my time. It was just part of my journey. You know, I was with before that. I was in Seattle, I was in Cincinnati for several years. I went to the Braves for a year, Padres for a year, and then back to Seattle. So that was part of my journey. I got to go to a World Series, and decent memories.
Yeah, that
you touched on this in the conversation you had with your dad, which came out in December. It's just a couple episodes back on the Boone podcast. But you know the family history here. It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's incredible enough to think that you guys have, you know, three generations playing ball, but to the level of success too. Every one of you played in an All-Star game and a World Series, and that's pretty amazing. Your grandfather won a World Series ring. Your dad won a World Series ring. And it's just the longevity, too. I'm thinking, you know, Ray Boone's your grandfather, and Eddie saw him play in Boston. He broke in 1942. We're now in 2021. A Boone is managing. There's nine consecutive decades in which a Boone has taken part in Major League Baseball. I mean, I don't know how much you look at it in those terms, Brett, but it's pretty significant chunk of baseball history where you guys can just name check a lot of guys in conversations. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it that way.
Yeah, it is, and I think when you're going through it, when you're in the now, for instance, when I was in my career or in the minor leagues, that seems like all I heard, and I came to resent it a little bit. Like, you know, I'm kind of sick of talking about grandpa and dad, and that's great. But, you know, fast forward a little bit and fast forward to today where I'm 12 years removed from playing. And I look back and I kind of smile like, you know what, I'm really proud of my family and all they're doing and what Aaron's doing right now. You know, my dad played for a long time. He's in the front office with the Washington Nationals now. I've got a son going off to his first spring training.
So the beat
goes on, and it's just nothing that's, you know, not boastful or from an ego standpoint, but more from a proud standpoint, just what everybody's been able to accomplish. And, you know, they set the bar pretty high. I tell my son all the time, I said, no pressure, buddy, but don't screw this up.
where's your son, Brett? Where's he going? Who's he with?
He's with the Nationals, so they report April 1st. So I'm looking forward to watching him start his journey.
Jake played at Princeton for the legendary Scott Bradley there, right?
Yeah.
He did. Scott was a teammate of mine when I was first breaking in the big league. So sending Jake off to Prince, I knew he was in good hands. And, time to move on now.
That's cool. I wanted to ask you about Ken Griffey Jr. I know you did a podcast with him. And, Griff was – I used to talk to him a lot in Cincinnati. And I have to ask you this. I can remember one conversation I had with him, and we ended up talking for 10 minutes about paintball. And I said, I'm sitting there talking with Ken Griffey Jr. about paintball. It's the last thing in the world I thought I'd – did you ever touch on that with him? He was a big paintball fan for some reason.
No, Kenny, no paintball, you know. Kenny was weird. But he is – Kenny's – well, how can I say it? His persona on the field, Kenny is different than Kenny one-on-one. And I think, sitting down and interview, he's interesting. He's got a different perspective and a real smart perspective. Kenny and my lives have kind of intertwined for a lot of years. And I was there – when I first came up to the big leagues, he was actually my first reckoning on how good I was. You know, I went through the minor leagues real quick thinking I'm the next catch me out, and I get to the big leagues and I look at Kenny and we're the same exact age, and he's already been there for 2.5 years. And I look at Kenny and I just thought, wow. I thought I'm not even close to that talent level. So that was kind of my first reckoning of big leagues and what is great. And, we played together for a few years, but our lives have kind of passed or passed by each other for the last 20 or 30 years.
That's funny, too, like the level of how you know him. I've never heard anybody call him Kenny. I've never heard anybody, it's always Junior or Ken Griffey Jr. I've just never heard anybody call him Kenny. Again, just name-checking guys that I heard your dad talking about, Lou Boudreaux, an early win when he was going to the ballpark as a kid. We see kids around the ballpark now, but it's not the same thing. You and Aaron described just going to the park every day with your dad, Bob Boone, when you play with the Phillies, and shagging flies in the outfield every single day. That's an existence that, I mean, you probably just thought it was just what you did when you were a kid. But, now looking on the other side of 50, you probably have to think back and think, wow, that was something pretty amazing.
Yeah. Once again, it's something when you're experiencing it. That was our childhood, and I didn't think anything differently. I got up and I went to the ballpark, and doesn't everybody go to work with their dad? And mine just happened to be Veterans Stadium at the time and eventually Anaheim Stadium. So I got to hang, I was hanging out with Pete Rose and Schmitty and Bull, and that was just normal. And what was cool about my childhood is the kids I hung around with, my buddies, they normalized it too. They didn't act like it was any big deal. And matter of fact, they gave me a kind of a hard time about it. So, and that kind of normalized it. But you get to a point in your life where you get to look back, and especially when you have kids growing up and seeing them, chasing their dreams, and you just think about how special your childhood was and how lucky we were. And, you're a kid, so, yeah, of course you probably take some things for granted. But looking back, nothing but really cool memories. And it was a different time in the game. We had a little more free will. We could kind of go to the ballpark and kind of do what we wanted. So we put our uniform on, we're in the dugout before the game. Sometimes stay in the dugout during the game. Something that kids really can't do now, when it comes to – it's just a different world. A lot more finances, finances come into play and liability. So I understand why kids aren't have as much access as they used to. But definitely a really special time in my life.
Yeah, I wondered, Brett Boone is our guest. I wondered what you thought of the game today. I always considered you, a grinder, a guy who gave it all every day. And I wonder whether you think there are enough kids like that still in the game, and whether it's changed that dramatically.
Well, I always said, you know, especially when I was playing, was, you know, I'd come out after a game and Grandpa'd be waiting for me and he'd go, "Oh, Brett, this," you know, and he'd be the game, "Hey, you should see when we played." I said, "Gramps, you know, get the rest with the when you played thing, you know."
Yeah.
So I always look at it very objectively. You know, I'm 12 years removed. It's a different game. You know, my last playing days were in the early 2000s. The game has changed, you know, quite significantly till up until 2021 right now. Mm-hmm. I think the best way to look at it is take the kids today, and I can learn something from the younger generation. But I also have in my pocket, you know, my career and the guys that I played with, and my father and my grandfather. So I think if we take the generations from the past and the current and combine them, you can find the best of all worlds, and that's the perfect baseball formula for me. You know, some of these things today, I think, wow, we would never do that. But I'm also envious of the access that the current player has to the technology. I mean, I was a technology rat. I want it. I want all the intel you can give me. I want everything on my opponent, and then I'll decide what I'm going to break down and use. So in a way, I'm a little jealous of what these guys have. And then I think at the same time, sometimes it can be too much, and especially in the wrong hands. So take the prior generations, take the current, combine them. I think that's your best formula when it comes to the game today.
Gotcha.
We're talking with Brett Boone. The Boone Podcast is available at Apple, all your podcast platforms. His guest this week is his brother, Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees. I'm curious, Brett, how do you treat your brother after a tough loss? Whether it's maybe it's different because of a playoff loss like Tampa Bay or Houston, or if there's a tough regular season game, you know, what's your method of checking in with them? Do you do it right away? Do you quick text, long phone call? How does that go as big brother to little brother?
No, we check in with each other during the year, you know, and, you know, we talk about maybe a situation coming up, you know, a pitching matchup or something like that. I kind of leave Aaron alone, especially during the season. You know, I'll check in with him just to say hi to my little brother, not to talk baseball.
Yeah.
If he wants to talk baseball a little bit, I will. But it's more, I keep it on that brotherly level and support. You know, I've watched Aaron in his first 3 years in New York, and I'll criticize him. I'll let him know if I think what I think when the time is right. Maybe off season here, I think you should have done this different. I think I like what you did here. But I'll tell you what, I think he's done a really good job. I'm really proud of him as a brother. I think he's handled everything very well in New York. You know, that's a tough place to manage. I mean, they expect a lot. It's the pinnacle of probably sports franchises. So I think he's done a heck of a job. And you know, you definitely have a very talented roster, but with the injuries they've had in his first 2 years, and I got to give a lot of credit to Brian Cashman too, behind the scenes, putting together that team and giving Aaron the parts that when the big boys were down, you had somebody to plug in those holes and to win 100 games, especially the 2019, or was it the 19 season when he won 100 games?
Yep.
That was remarkable, and I remember calling him at the end and saying, "You can't win manager of the year this year. You're never going to win." Because, you know, 80% of his club had missed a significant amount of times. They still won 100 games and went deep in the postseason. But, I'm just really proud of him and what he's done. I think Aaron's a guy's guy. People like Aaron. He's well-prepared. He's got a lot of baseball knowledge, and he's a people's guy. You know, he relates to players, and he cares about players. I think he's got a great staff around him, and obviously a boatload of talent. And Sweeney, we were talking yesterday. I'm excited to see this year's team. You know, you can always say the ifs. If they can, everybody's hitting on all cylinders, and you can keep everybody healthy. It could be exciting for the Yankees this year.
Hey, Brett, I think you managed just for a short while. What I just wonder whether you thought about getting back in the game, whether that's something you wanted to do or something you still think about these days.
Yeah, you know, I kind of took a different avenue than my brother getting out of when we retired from the game. My attitude at the time was when I'm done playing, I'm going to go off in the sunset and I want no part of it. I want to go golfing and hang out with my, you know, and go on vacation. Well, that gets old pretty quick. And the last few years, I've started to have a different turn. I'm getting back. I'm going to get back into the game, whether it's on the analytical side or on the field. I'll never say never to it. This is kind of my passion. This is my expertise. It's what I've done for the majority of my life, and I'm ready for another chapter. So I'm kind of open to anything and not really forcing anything, if that makes sense. We're going to see where the cards fall. But I wouldn't rule out being back on the field in a coaching or a managing position.
Cool.
Brett, last year was a tough year around baseball. We lost a lot of Hall of Famers. And, you know, I could hear in the conversation you had with your dad in the podcast how emotional it gets talking about certain things in the past when a lot of his people he played against, contemporaries, names like that even just came up in that conversation, Seaver, Niekro, Sutton, teammates. You know, I'm just curious how your dad has handled all that and what kind of conversations you have about memories he has of those types of players.
Yeah, Tom and Smith, you named two right there. Don Sutton and Tom Seaver were really close with Dad. Never played with Tom, but he was Sutton's, you know, him and Donnie were teammates for a few years. Dad's just really emotional now for a lot of different reasons. I remember talking to Aaron before. I said, "Hey, Dad's coming on the podcast." And he goes, "Oh, he's going to cry." I said, "Yeah, he cries quite a bit now." He cries quite a bit now. He just gets emotional. Just talking about his family for the most part. And when he talks about Aaron or now, you know, he's got a bunch of grandkids running around. When my son signed with the Nationals, Gramps is right there. And it's those tears of joy. He's just so proud and he's getting to a point in his life where, you know, he's 72 years old and he's just looking back at his life, appreciating what he's been able to accomplish and what he has. And, I don't know. I think we all get sentimental at a certain age. But Dad's definitely there now. Yeah, it has been, you know, when you mentioned it's been a rough year, it has. We lost a lot of guys in a short period of time, you know, and maybe, you know, that's just life cycles, I guess. And sometimes they hit you all at once and sometimes it's a slow drip, but we definitely lost some, Hammer and Hank right at the top of the list. One of the greatest ever to do it. It's just kind of weird when guys like that start not being around anymore. It's just kind of, you know, maybe we're all getting a little bit older and it's mortalizing all of us.
It's funny. And listening to your dad and talking about his dad, and I mentioned this earlier, just kind of the tentacles that you guys touch, you can name check just about everybody in this ball game, and there's a story or some sort of relation to all these guys. And even just the guys you're talking about, you know, Bob Boone was behind the plate when Hank Aaron hit his 700th home run. Late in the 73 season, called that pitch off Ken Brett, I think he said. He was also behind the plate when Lou Brock stole the base that broke Maury Wills' record. And he tortured him pretty good in that 74 season, if I remember looking it up right. I mean, these are Hall of Famers and just names that the Boone family crosses a lot of these. It's pretty remarkable. And I just think it's pretty amazing to think that you guys didn't just play. I mean, you kind of went through large periods of history in this ball game.
Connect the dots.
Yeah, and Aaron Boone talked to me about it once a couple of years ago. Just the conversations you guys have with your grandfather, I mean, just dinner table conversations about baseball. They're different level conversations the rest of us have with our families about baseball.
Yeah, and I think as life goes on, you learn to look back and appreciate those. You know, I was particularly really, really close with my grandpa. And, you know, I'd bring him out to spring training, every spring training. I'd give him a room next to my room. And for a week, we'd go to the ballpark every day. Gramps would get there early, and he's reminiscing with the scouts. And, you know, Gramps kind of was really – he'd get in there, and he wants to talk baseball, and he'll talk it all day. But I just remember those times and those dinners, like you said, us having dinner and talking about, you know, in his day, and Bob Feller, Brett, Bob Feller threw harder than anybody. I can remember these right now. Ted Williams is better than Barry Bonds, and I I used to be like, Gramps, I've heard that Ted Williams story like 100 times, man. Give it a rest. And I'll tell you, now I look back on those days, and I'd like to hear one more Ted Williams story. Yeah. So really, really just, you know, special times and a special guy. And I've had a lot of those. And I think Gramps, you know, Gramps or Dad's at that age now where he's looking back. And I think that's why he gets so emotional about his family, because he's just thinking of all the great times and all the relationships that he's passed in this game. Yeah, thinking about relationships, I look at my mom. I'm thinking this is the most well-versed female in our country. Could you imagine the amount of games she's been to? Now she's going to her grandkids' game. So pretty cool, pretty special.
Have you had her on a podcast yet?
I haven't, but I'm thinking that go. Might be a real
there you go.
Interesting
hey.
One. Yeah. I think a lot of people might like that.
Yeah,
I think that's
definitely.
A Mother's Day special, man. That's a, I'm putting on my
go.
Marketing genius right here. That's a Mother's Day Glenn, special right there.
You're going to be an executive producer.
That's it, man. Just cut me in for about 10%. We're all good. I'm going to put your analyst hat on. The 2021 Yankees, you already talked a little bit about them. What do you like about them?
I like everything. I like everything if everything goes well. You know, I want to see this Severino kid when he comes back. I want to see fully healthy what he's capable of. I think in the rotation, I really like the Italian kid coming over. I think that's going to be
Tyone,
a good addition.
Tyone.
The only obvious is Cole at the top. I mean, he's your horse, arguably the best pitcher in the world. I always loved him sitting at the top. But these other guys, Kluber, I'm a big Kluber fan. You know, before he went down and he missed last year. But Sweeney, we touched on this a little bit yesterday when we talked off air. They gave him $11 million.
For a reason.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I was saying Brian Cashman didn't just wake up and say, I want to give Kluber, he hasn't pitched in a while, I just want to give him $11 million. The reason he's giving him $11 million, because a lot of other teams are after him and willing to pay him that. And probably in the end, Kluber, you know, wanted to be a Yankee. So that's encouraging for me on his health and what he's capable of. Because when he's on, he's a viable number one, you know, which sits real nicely right behind Cole if he's Kluber of, you know, let's say 2017. So I love it. You know, you got a healthy Judge and Stanton right now. You get the best hitter probably in the game currently, maybe with Soto as a challenging for that title in LeMahieu. Mm-hmm. He's back. Voit coming off a huge year for the Yankees, probably your MVP last year. I'd like to see if Torres turns around and gets back to – you know, you've got three MVP potential guys on the field, in my opinion. And it's just a matter, like it's been for the last 3 years for you guys, staying healthy. But if this team stays healthy for the majority of the season, that's an exciting-looking team right there. You got Britton back, Chapman at the end of that rotation, Green in that bullpen. I think sky's the limit for this team, but like every team, it all comes down to health and whether all these things fall into place, whether Kluber's healthy, whether Severino comes back. It'd be interesting to watch Frazier in left field get a shot at a full season of playing every day, what he's capable of doing. I think a lot of exciting things.
It sounds like the manager is the only one that can mess this up.
He can, of course, and if things go bad, and I'll say that to Aaron a lot of the times too. And, you know, when things are really tough and the fans are getting on Aaron or the media, I'll say, yeah. So you want to be a big league manager, do you? You know, so there's a lot of perks that come with being the Yankees manager, but you got to deal with the negative side too. That's what you signed up for.
My best coach over the years, I'll put it this way. He always used to say, "Don't screw this up." Except he used to use another word except for screw. Okay, he'd say that every game. Okay, and that was the best advice you could get. Hey, Brett, I was wondering, if you played 14 years in the league, when you're kicking back and you're sitting back, who do you like to watch as a hitter, and who do you like to watch as a pitcher these days?
As a pitcher. I kind of like a lot of the pitchers. I really like really like watching a Cole pitch. It's just, you know, the technical side of it. I did a podcast with Bauer. I was really interested in his.
Oh, wow. How'd that go?
It was interesting. You know, I went into it thinking, well, this guy's probably not my cup of tea. That's the type of player I was. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I did it. It was really interesting. He's a real educated guy. Mm-hmm. And he broke it down pretty in a very smart way on the way he trains. I thought it was real interesting.
Cool.
Okay. Anyway, getting back to the question about that, I really like a guy like watching Scherzer pitch. Mm-hmm. Basically, give me the ball and get out of my way type guy.
Gotcha.
From a hitting standpoint, how can you not love watching LeMahieu? You know, I think, and if he's not the best hitter in the game, he's definitely the best right-handed hitter in the game. On the other side, I mentioned earlier, I really like that young kid in Washington, that Soto.
He is so good.
I mean, he's a Ken Griffey Jr. type for me. Wow. He's that good.
Yes, I agree.
And I think you go over to San Diego Padres and this Tatis. Mm-hmm. This guy's an Alex Rodriguez talent. And it's easy to say that now, you know, to put an Alex Rodriguez on him is pretty heavy.
Sure.
But I watched him for all last year. This guy's the real deal. He's got it all. He's got that rock star personality. He just got a swagger about him. He checks all the boxes, and he's as talented of a guy as I've seen. And it'll be interesting to see how his journey goes. That's a lot put on a 21-year-old. You know, he got $340 million at 21 or 22 years old. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
we'll see how he handles it. We'll see how he handles it. But if everything goes good for him, keeps his head on straight, that the sky's the limit for him.
The Brett Boone Podcast is live wherever you get your podcasts. Aaron Boone is this week's guest, a brother-to-brother chat for the first time for episode number 50. Go back and check. There's Ken Griffey Jr., Paul Molitor, Bob Boone, Trevor Bauer, as you mentioned. A lot of good conversations. I'm going to have to start catching up on some of those. I've heard maybe two or three of them already. Worth your while listening. And, Brett, we can't wait to hear what's next. So thanks for giving us a couple minutes today. And we'll be waiting to see what kind of grief you give your brother after he gets off to a 4-10 start this year, okay?
I probably won't give him a call yet. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Brett. Good talking to you.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.